This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Back! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown! Goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Happy Labor Day. Braves game is over. Bravos lose 8-2 to the Red Sox. That series continues over the next couple of days. We'll break that down coming up in just a little bit. But as we do each and every day, we start off every hour and every day of the program by saying, hey, man. Hope you had a good weekend. I know you were enjoying. I saw some of the pictures. Obviously, we were talking over the weekend. You had this incredible balcony. Now, for those who are not familiar with the program, and we hope that, you know, you listen every day, but maybe you're not, or you don't, Mike was celebrating his 50th birthday pretty much all year long. And so he went overseas, he's been back, he's done a couple other trips. So you said this was the last weekend, and you went down to Lauderdale this weekend.
Yeah, man, down to Fort Lauderdale. Some of my Florida State buddies who live down in Broward County, we all hung out. But my wife, she travels for work. And she has a lot of Hilton points. So if you guys, if you're working, you travel and you get those points, she was able to get the upgrade. And we upgraded to like this unbelievable party suite. It was like a 21st floor. And it had this balcony overlooking the ocean. And it had all this room. And I put some of the pictures up. I got a Hey Man Ale out there on Saturday when we checked into the joint.
That's what's up.
And so the girl behind the counter goes, well, she was prepared to be very happy. And we get up there and I'm like, holy crap, we got a three-bedroom, like, this place is bigger than our condo. So, anyway, called all my friends and anybody who was in, like, you know, an hour's driving, this, like, come on, party in our place. There was talk for a minute of doing our fantasy draft, which we do at a restaurant up in Pompano, and moving it to this this balcony. But then the hurricane came in and kind of put the kibosh on that. Tropical Storm Gordon is now churning into the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, that before all that went down, great times. Flat screens everywhere, watching all the games. Just a good time, man. And thanks to my wife, Becky, you're the best for, again, having the juice with the hotel.
Yeah, I got the text, and Mike was like, this might be the best room I've seen in a while. And I was like, really? And then he hits me up and shows me the balcony. I was like, oh, great scenery. So it looked like you guys had a lot of fun down there, man. Yeah, and listen, you know, for folks that are heading down for whatever reason in the Gulf area, you can be on the lookout, man. That thing's going to turn into a hurricane. The last thing I saw, I was a few hours back, but I'm glad you got back safely and got out of there this morning, because I know you said you were in the plane and the pilot came on and said what?
Yeah, always a little disconcerting when the pilot says, all right, folks, we're number three for takeoff. We're just waiting because the guys in front of us are kind of deciding if they're going to take off. So that kind of doesn't really instill you with a sense of confidence. But eventually we did get rolling, and, man, yeah, it was that morning flight from Lauderdale. But, hey, man, now it's time. Now we're ready to go. We know a couple of things. We'll talk about it in the Falcon Report. Who's going to be playing QB? We had a first big weekend of college football. I mean, it really feels like now it's time to get it in gear, baby. It's football season.
It is. And a big shout-out to Brian for sending out that tweet with your pops, man, and joining a Hey Man L. Big shout-out to all the people at the brewery as well, Taylor and Leslie and Nathan and John. Thank you, guys, because, again, everybody's asking us, when can we get it? Where can we get it? We're going to put the list out this week. I was enjoying one at the house. I said this earlier. Went into the fridge, and it's just weird. Like, yeah, just give me a brew. Oh, that's my brew. it's just kind of weird to reach in and grab one, but it is good. And thanks for everybody who was responding and sending pictures and enjoying a Hey Man Ale. As we've said over the last months or so, every time we've been out somewhere, we're going to be out Friday at Twin Peaks. So Thursday night, Falcons game, guys. Friday, we were talking about it with you guys at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Yes, we will have our brew, and I think we're going to have some cans there as well.
Right.
So big show. We're looking forward to it on Friday. With all of that said, and I had a great weekend. I hope you guys did.
Now, were you doing low-key, just like doing family stuff?
I told Brian, you know, I put a butt on. So I cooked it like all day, literally Friday, all day Friday night, got up Saturday, and we've been eating off that thing, you know, nachos, pork tacos, all kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
So just enjoying it, man. And, you know, this is the best time of the year. For me, it's the best time. From game to game,
right?
You know, some games I have a rooting interest, some I could care less. I just want to be entertained, you know. So I'm sitting around enjoying it, and I think that's the case for most football fans. But Thursday, as Mike said, is the day that we find out a lot about our Atlanta Falcons. Pregame starts at 4:20. That's the Wade Ford pregame show. 6:20 pregame until 8:20 kickoff right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The one thing we do know is Nick Foles is going to be the starter for week one. That was announced basically over the weekend as they could not keep a secret, Mike, as Doug Peterson made that announcement. But, you know, guys, as we go into this game, and this is game one, there are some storylines that we're trying to figure out about our football team. And one of those is, you know, whether our defense is going to take that next step. We have all the makings to be a great defense in this league. And I said, Mike, last year, you go back to December, middle of December, we started playing the best defensive football we had all year. I mean, we're holding opponents to under 15 points for the most part. And then you go and you beat up on the Rams in the playoffs. You hold the Eagles, who, again, should have probably won that game. Mm-hmm. You see what the Eagles did the next week and then what they did to New England in the Super Bowl. It tells you how good our defense was playing.
Right, and that's the thing, guys. The Eagles with Foles, I mean, we held them to 15 points. Everyone else they played, they blew them up, man. Minnesota had no shot in that game, and we saw how they did some really dynamic things against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, to your point. But we had a shot in that game. We all know how the season ended, and that's where we try to make things right. With the same guys calling it, Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels on NBC. Collinsworth last week in a conference call saying, why don't we get the ball to Julio in the red zone? Great question. Steve Sarkisian talking to the media. The media was up there today at the branch, and he was, everybody, including Julio, talking about these new wrinkles. Now, obviously, they could tell us, but they'd have to kill us because they don't want the other guys to know about it. But we got some of Steve Sarkisian. Take a listen.
You know, I mean, you know, we put in a lot of time assessing who we are and what we're about, how we can improve who we are, and then you devise a plan to implement some things, and then you have to bring them to life on the practice field, and you have to put in the work, and sometimes things might fail the first couple of times, and then you continue to work on them, they get better, and the execution improves, and the trust with the quarterback and the receiver, or the runner and the line, and so when you develop those things over months of time, and now here comes week one, for me, it's more about I'm looking forward to seeing some of these things come to life because we've put in a lot of time, and I'm looking forward to these guys going out and executing and playing.
I'm not expecting the Falcons, and I'll say this all week until the start of the game, I'm not expecting the Falcons to be 100% in the red zone. I'm not. But we have to be better than what we were last year. And when you start looking at the breakdown, Michael, we're scoring 11.7 fewer points, where people around the league go, well, the offense was good because you guys were, you know, third in pass efficiency and, mm-hmm. you know, you guys were first on third downs and, you know, there were some positives. There were. But this is a game where you have to score points.
Right.
And when you get in the red zone and if you are there four times in a game and you score once, you're more likely going to lose. We can't kick field goals in the NFL and expect to win. So that's how that season played out. I hear Sark. I hear him. I said this. I want to believe him. But they got to prove it. Right. They got to show us that there is improvement with all the trickery of the plays or whatever, these wrinkles, Mike, whatever it's going to be. And we may not see it all Thursday night. I don't expect to. But you better have some go-to plays that you feel really good about.
We'll talk about some of the injuries and what's going on with the roster before we wrap up the Falcon Report. Brought to you by our buddies at Domino's, largest free-topping pizza guy, $7.99. And maybe you're heading on back from the ball game. Whatever you're doing, man, let somebody else do the cooking. Call Domino's again, guys. Carry out only. It's good 7 days a week. Large free-topping pizza, $7.99. You know who Jeff Overbaugh is?
No.
He snapped for the Vikings in the playoffs last season. Apparently, our long snapper is banged up.
Okay.
A dude named Josh Harris has a hip injury. So apparently not 100%, so we got that under control. More names you might be familiar with on today's injury report. Ricardo Allen dealing with a thigh injury, Marvin Hall an ankle. Debo, reason Deion Jones was held out of those last two preseason games, it's a lingering hamstring injury. And then Foye Olakun, I always screw the name up, he's got an ankle. Also, Isaiah Oliver limited. You got Ben Garland, did not participate, as did Bleedy Ray Wilson, backup cornerback.
Olukun. Foye Olukun.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. And by the way, he had a really good preseason for us. So yeah. They're expecting big things from him on special teams. The other news today, I think, is, you know, we talk about special teams. And again, we may not know until we see Calvin Ridley out there on Thursday night. Mike, I say put him back there. And I'm hoping Keith Armstrong is saying that to Coach. Let's put our best players out there. Now, I know there's an element, again, you have high expectations for Calvin Ridley. Do you risk him in this area and not have him potentially for what you want to do offensively?
I mean, he's a great athlete. Half the time, it's a fair catch. I mean, how many big explosive plays in the punt? And hopefully better judgment than the guys we've had out there the last couple of years, where we get sandwiched inside our own 5-yard line. you know, in some cases, right on the goal line practically. So better decision-making, whoever's going to be fielding those punts. Kickoffs, for the most part, are touchbacks, although every now and again you'll get somebody who can't get it there. And Calvin Ridley showed you against the Chiefs, he's capable of getting you up for 30 yards, 40 yards up the field.
Yeah. Let's hear from Coach Quinn talking about this matchup. Listen, they know the Eagles. Eagles know us. You got to go out and make plays. And when I say that, you know, a turnover that may have won the game for us last year with Keanu Neal, we got to make that play. So making plays is key. But Dan Quinn talking about this matchup.
Let's talk offensively, you know, finding ways to get runs against a good eight-man front, you know, the way they play downhill and get on the edges. For us, at our best, having to defend the whole field. And we've got some tough matchup, as they do too. So that's what kind of makes, I think, both teams, the trenches on both sides, you know, are equipped and have their stuff together, both offensive lines, both defensive lines.
Let's hear from Devontae Freeman, Mike. Now, he did not play this entire preseason, and understandably why. But Free's talking about where his energy and his focus is right now.
I just keep preparing every single day. You know, like, I feel like all that is just clutter. The best thing I could do is just eliminate everything, you know, and just focus on me getting better and, you know, focus on the game plan and things like my sleep, my body. That's where all my energy is at right now.
Okay. I hope we see Free and Coleman on the field together with doing some different things. And you said this last time we saw these guys, Coleman was eating them up, although we didn't go to him late in the game.
Well, then we later learned that Free was dealing with a nagging injury, which might have explained why he was less effective in between the tackles against the Eagles. I mean, Tevin Coleman was the guy that was working between him and the, you know, the nice accurate throws and the fourth down conversion to Julio. Get us down the field, then we got in that red zone, and then, what do you want to say, Sark got tight or whatever. We just called up some really goofy play calls. Some stuff that, you know, and we've heard it a million times. We've talked about it all offseason. The Eagles knew exactly what we were doing on the final play where Julio falls, gets pushed, whatever you want to call it, and Matt and he cannot connect. So, again, we just talked about it earlier in the show for guys just tuning in. The work that they've done in the red zone, more than we've seen the last couple of years, certainly under Dan Quinn, and the work specifically on fade routes. What do we always talk about? Guys will call in on a Monday. Why can't we do a back shoulder fade? Why can't? Well, we've done so much work on that. When I say we, the Falcons, at Flowery Branch this summer.
It's been obvious that this has been part of what Dan Quinn said, extra periods, meaning extra practice time that they've added on to try to, you know, benefit.
That the players basically run themselves.
Correct. Yeah, and it's a player-run thing. Let's hear from Marquand Manuel. He's our defensive coordinator. We talk about this. It's Dan Quinn's defense. We get that. Quinn's still involved, but Marquand Manuel's calling the signals, guys, and he has been really good since getting this position. But one area, all right, and it's Monday. And I know half of you are probably not even paying attention because it's Labor Day.
It's Labor Day, what?
We have to be able to cover their tight ends. Listen to Marquand Manuel.
You just have to have different ways to make sure that you're able to cover them. And with our guys, I think we have the guys that can do it. Dre does a good job covering tight ends. Keanu does as well. Brian at times has to cover tight ends from that standpoint. Then you got the nugget that comes in, KZ. So you got enough guys that can come out and cover them. I just think from that standpoint, it's like anybody else. I went against Gates for years. You know, just to have the ability to understand that he runs precise routes. He knows how to get open. He has experience. He's not really testing you down the field until you let him, but he now knows how to put himself in position with each quarterback and makes himself a target.
Zach Ertz is the guy, remember on Hard Knocks last week, Carl, where who's the player that got kicked off the team for the insider trading? The former Eagle,
Michaels.
By the way. Yeah, Brandon Michaels comes in and said basically, yeah, that 86 is the best receiver, including the wide receivers on that team, the tight end.
Yeah, Michael Kendricks was the guy that got released from the Browns. But that's why, and listen, I just bring that up because that's an area that kind of goes overlooked. Obviously not for Marquand Manuel, but he's right. We've got various guys that can do that. It's going to be intriguing, guys, but this is a good first test. Could come back down the road to decide, you know, whether we have a home game or the Eagles have a home game. All these games matter, and there's not a game on the schedule going, it really doesn't matter if they lose. I don't ever look at these games that way when you start talking about an NFC opponent, even if they're not in our division.
It's huge. I mean, the conference tiebreakers, there's so many things that are important here. Number one, confidence, right? I mean, I don't even want to think about Friday. Well, I do love going to Twin Peaks and Buckets, so I'm looking forward to Friday's show. We'll have our Dukes and Bale Hey Man Ale. But I'm not looking forward to having to talk about an L because for some folks out there, the sky will be falling. You know, you're going up against the Super Bowl champs. They've looked as bad as we've looked in the preseason, if that means anything. We've had one really good drive, two if you count to what you did against Kansas City. We didn't do anything. We didn't take advantage of the turnovers. The only sample size, Carl, where you could look at starter versus starter And how else are you going to judge it? So we've certainly been working on some things internally, which maybe the fans aren't going to see. You're not going to see in these preseason games. And let's hope that's the case. But the Eagles have looked just as bad, if not worse, in the preseason.
No, they have. And, you know, Doug Peterson, real quick, talking about his game plan. He was asked about this. You know, coach, what do you expect to do? What about the Falcons? You know, how are you going to attack them? Listen to him.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm trying to win a football game. And I don't want to put my game plan out there for everybody to see it and read it. And teams can scheme, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense, you know? So I appreciate it.
Basically, he's not going to answer that.
Everybody loved the guy a year ago. Boy, Philadelphia turns everybody into a jerk.
Yeah, it pretty much does. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. The radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And, of course, follow the radio station, 929 The Game, and like us on Facebook if you've not done so. Again, big shout-out to everybody who followed the can unveil on Friday, man. Mm. Lots of hits. People were checking it out. So thank you guys for checking it out and giving us love. Hey, with that said, we got the big story coming up. Braves lose, but how much did they actually lose in the standings? We'll talk about it. And Mike was saying this. We were talking about this in the break, man. The team they're playing. Red Sox have everything.
I mean, yeah, we'll save it for the next segment. But, yeah, bullpen, check. Position players, check. Heck, the starting pitcher, you can barely get through the fourth inning with a high pitch count, and they still found a way to get it done. Either way, the Braves are still in a good position. We'll explain all that. Plus, some other storylines we hadn't covered in the first hour, if you just get in the car here. What's going on with the Raiders? What was John Gruden thinking, sending Khalil Mack to the Bears? Also, Miami. Boy, oh, boy. Turnover chain. LSU just took it right up your keister.
Hey, reminder, guys, Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Mike Conte, Hugh Douglas will preview the Falcons matchup and get you ready for some football. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the energy.
Off to Almiron at the penalty spot. Shot!
Unmatched loyalty. Our Atlanta United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Before we get to our big story here on Dukes and Bell, Mike just mentioned something to me. We had Jason Longshore on earlier in the program, and Jason is the analyst for Atlanta United. We were talking about a disappointing loss over the weekend to DC United. But one of the things you asked, Jason, was about, you know, some of the options that Tata might have.
Yeah, because obviously the brand is hot, and people know about Atlanta United all around the world, and he's got a connection down there in Argentina. He had coached the Argentine national team. He had coached Paraguay at some of their greatest heights. Well, anyway, Juan Carlos Osorio, who had coached the Red Bulls years ago, and, of course, did a great job with Mexico, El Tri. He did such a good job that Landon Donovan was even rooting for them. Remember that deal?
Yes, I did.
But anyway, he's going to take the job. So Osorio's going to go and run Paraguay. And what does this mean to us? That means there's one less job to worry about Tata taking.
Which is good news.
So you got to take care of your Tatas. We all know that.
No, you need to take care of it. Plus, you know, I said this to Mike. We love our team. We love our situation.
We fear change.
Yeah, I don't want Tata to go anywhere. Now, I don't think it's going to happen this season, but to your point. Another option taken off the table. I'm fine with that.
Please don't take my tatas away.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we're going to let you hear from the guy that will have the call tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got Virginia Tech, the Hokies, taking on Florida State, the Seminoles, that pregame show at 7:30, and Gene Deckerhoff.
Touchdown, Florida State.
Yeah, you're going to hear from him coming up at 6:20. So about an hour from now, as we talk to Gene about not only Florida State and what's going on there, but he is also the voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, man. So what's going on with Jameis? Some people have said that Jameis, despite the fact he's going to miss the first three games, is at his best camp yet as a Buccaneer. And what are they doing with some of those new moves they made on the defense? Gene will tell us about it, so stay tuned.
All right, man. 404-741-0929. Some text coming in regards to the Falcons. Guys saying, man, I can't believe that our first game is just a few days away. It's kind of crazy because all the buildup, and to this point, you know, it's all been like talking about things that hadn't happened, right?
Yeah, and now we finally get to, and for us, that we talk extemporaneously 5 hours a day, yes, it's a lot easier to talk about things that are going down as opposed to what you think is going to happen. And now we're going to have it on Thursday. Here's the deal. And I asked you this back when the schedule came out.
Yeah.
Would you rather have us play these guys mid-season? Because remember how much hype we thought and we put into the New England game. We thought, oh, well, they're going to have to relive the 28-3 nonsense mm-hmm. and all this. The thing is, we didn't even show up for that game. That's the one that had me scratching my head more than anything, is how bad we looked in New England. Knowing that the country was looking at it, knowing that we could have a chance to be extra, like, you're never going to make it for blowing that lead in the Super Bowl, but still, that was a strange game.
So you're saying you would prefer to have this Eagles game maybe later in the schedule?
I don't know. I mean, or do you feel let's come out six guns a blazing? We're going to believe that Sark has figured out this offense through the help of Greg Knapp. The offensive line's an upgrade with Fusco. We got all the weapons. We got an upgrade over Taylor Gabriel with Ridley. Let's go to work. Austin Hooper's catching the ball in the preseason.
Yeah, listen, I think Dan Quinn and the preparation started last night. We're going to get to the big story here in a second, but preparation started yesterday. All right, Falcons, short week. So it was a work day for those guys yesterday. It's a work day today. This is a quick turnaround to start getting ready for the Eagles. Now, they've been putting in small things.
Right.
They can tell us all about the preseason all they want. You've been preparing because you knew this game is coming up. But, Mike, to me, you go in, you call everybody in that meeting room, that big meeting room where we've been up there, and you go, man, I want to show you something. And you turn on the film from last year.
Right.
And you just let them watch it. And then you go, that's who we have to go beat in our first game because everybody knows how they felt. I think everybody in that room, and this is not just being a homer, Falcons were a better team. In that game,
right.
They were. They should have won. The defense did what they needed to do. We drove the field and had four downs to put it in the end zone to win the game and go to the NFC Championship.
Right.
And we didn't do it.
And we held Minnesota guys to 14 points when they played us that year. That's what made it so frustrating last season about how our defense, which we were worried about them taking the leap, defense certainly did the job. The only thing about the defense right now is sustaining the pass rush. We have not two things. Not seen a lot of pass rush, and we've not seen our offensive line get short yardage against starters of the other teams in the preseason.
So to answer your question, no, I want to start with the Eagles because that taste is still in my mouth.
Ew. Rotten Philly cheesesteak.
Let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
All right, I got good news, I got bad news. What do you want to hear?
Give me the good news first, man.
Good news is the Braves are still in first place.
Right on.
Because the Phillies lose. But so do the Braves, which is the bad news. So it is 4.5 games. Could have been 5, Mike, if the Braves won today, but they didn't. Phillies lose to the Marlins. I'm going to tell you guys something. You know, when this season is done and we're in the playoffs and the Phillies hopefully are not, everybody's going to be talking about what happened. It's simple. The Phillies have sucked against the Mets and the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
They are 13-14 on the season. That's a 4.81 winning percentage against the Mets and the Marlins, the two worst teams in this division. The Braves are 26-9.
That's where they've been making their hay. And that weasel, Urania, who, of course, plunked Ronald Acuna a couple weeks back, he actually comes to the rescue. He had a great outing today. He was dealing against the Phillies, so that's only his second home win at Marlins Park this year, that turd. But thanks a lot, brother, because that helps us pick up a half game or at least keep them a half game away. Cuts the magic number down to 22. Combination of our wins and their losses to get the division.
Oh, don't talk about the magic number. No. Don't want to do that.
It's 22.
No, don't say anything about the magic number. Don't want to go there. No. Nobody wants to know about the magic number.
Well, I mean, you know, Mr. Excitement, Joe Simpson was mentioned earlier on the telecast.
See, this is what's funny. A guy hit me up this weekend, and he's like, man, it's good to be talking about the magic number. To Mike's point, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace it. Our team has a magic number. We haven't had a magic number in 4 years, right. 5 years.
The one thing I did notice, we have the TVs on here in studio, is of all the things, Red Sox are playing the Braves. A guy wearing a Yankee hat in like the $500 a seat tickets right behind home plate.
Was he really?
Like, what is that about? Guy wearing a powder blue polo shirt and a Yankee cap at a Red Sox Braves game.
Well, maybe he wanted to show that he was visiting and he was a Yankee fan. Who knows?
Hey, everybody knows that doofus. Hit us up. We need to know what this guy's backstory is.
Hey, today it was not Tookie time.
Mm-hmm.
Tookie 4 2/3. 6 strikeouts.
He was cooking for a minute.
But he gave up 3 earned runs. Ian Kinsler was the hero for the Red Sox. He drove in 3 runs. So, the Sox, you said it, the bullpen. Mike, their starter goes out after 3 innings, and they have 7 other pitchers that come into the game that only give up 2 runs.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, it was interesting. The Red Sox pitching staff has the scouting report on the Braves, and that's high heat, rising fastballs, and see if the guys will take the bait. And some players did. Some were able to lay off. But a guy who threw a 100-mile-an-hour pitch to a strikeout, was it Acuna he struck out on that one? But I believe that was the radar gun. But of all the oldies, to your point, goes like 3 1/3 because the pitch count was up through the roof. But unlike the Braves, the Red Sox have got a great bullpen. They got guys who can step in and do the job. And they all throw hard, and they're all really good. And they can, you know, break, you know, off-speed pitch for them is like 88 miles an hour. Either way, good news is Phillies win, Braves lose. struggling, though, because the Braves left so many guys on base. You and I were sitting going bananas. What was the number, Stan? Was it 11? How many guys did they leave on base tonight?
I think it was. By the way, Acuna 0 for 5, Camargo 2 for 3. Ozzie Albies does go deep, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the numbers, I mean, you might say there's no way, but is there a way that either Albies or Acuna end up with 30 home runs this season? Albies hits his, what, 22nd of the season, I believe it was today. So, point is, both of these guys, I think, have exceeded expectations when you talk about the power numbers, for Albies especially. But Acuna, who's played less games, it's almost amazing to think he's going to have over 25 home runs when the season's over.
Unfortunately, though, couldn't connect, couldn't click to pick, or pick to click, as the Hawk would say. It was 13 left on base for the Braves in this game.
It's a lot.
And you can't do that against anybody, let alone the best team in baseball, who's on pace to win 110 games, the Red Sox.
Yeah, 22nd homer for Albies. All right, tomorrow it's Newcomb on the Hill. So you shake this one off and see what you can do tomorrow against the Red Sox. But here's the news. Again, the Phillies are just not winning when they should be. This is a game they should have won against the Marlins and gained a little bit of ground.
Right.
This is why those games at the end of this month are going to be huge, guys, where we play them 7 of the last 10 games, and you're going to be saying, all right, this is where the division is decided. If they come in to that first series with us 6 games out, they got to sweep. You know, you're talking about now having to sweep and still need help. So you just keep winning, keep playing it out, and hopefully the Braves will be in a good position at the end of the month.
Right on.
It is our big story, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about some of the things that we have not had a chance to get to, including some of the NFL news, Mike, because teams naming their starters, Jets named Darnold their starter. We know A.J. McCarron got traded. You see those weird comments by Brent Musburger?
Yeah, Brent Musburger's creeping out about McCarron's girl again. We'll explain. And then there's also the Khalil Mack trade, which had everybody going, what? And also some injuries. And hopefully a guy you didn't already draft in your fantasy league for the 49ers. We'll explain all that. Give a little NFL love. And also, speaking of the Khalil Mack trade last night, the Sean McDonough comments, he hates Gruden, man. Boy, did they not get along on Monday Night Football at ESPN.
Yeah, but you know what? Gruden didn't get him demoted off of Monday Night Football. He got him demoted off of Monday Night Football. He just wasn't entertaining enough.
No, he's Sears and Roebuck. He's B-team. McDonough is B-team.
And you know, listen, I think McDonough is good at play-by-play. I've said this. It's hard to do that. It's a very difficult job. I've done it. Here's the deal, though, Mike. When you are on that level, okay, and you're the placeholder, as my boy Tirico told me when he was doing Monday Night Football, you have to realize that there's a sense of responsibility that goes along with that. And I just always felt, we talked about it, I'd see Sean McDonough come on and I'd go, what's the game? It wasn't like, wow, what's the game?
Yeah, it feels about as big as one of those noon starts when Northwestern takes on Indiana. You know what I mean? By the way, what do you think of Beth Mullen doing her Brad Nessler impression on the Georgia B game?
I thought Beth was good, and that's where I'm going to leave it.
Hey, man, the comments, by the way, we got time? I got time? Oh, I got 2 minutes. I can do the story right now. So last night I'm watching the LSU-Miami game, and obviously it's a laugh at that point. It's 33-3. And it's on the ticker on the bottom of ESPN screen that you've got the trade of Khalil Mack to the Bears, all the picks, 2 first-rounders, and a third. They sent a second and Khalil Mack. So Sean McDonough goes, well, what's going on there? Why would the Raiders do that? That's one of the best defensive players in the league. Wow. Because you don't like John Gruden? Is that what you said? And meanwhile, Blackledge is like, yeah, that's crazy. Because he knows where this is going.
He didn't want to go down that road.
Meanwhile, here's the thing. Maybe nobody likes working with Sean McDonough. Yeah. You know, maybe you ever think about that?
It's possible. But it was.
What do you mean?
It was funny.
You mean I think I'm Bob Costas? I'm not letting John Gruden speak?
It was funny to hear him say it. But, McDonough to the best. All right? I wish him the best.
Right.
He just wasn't the big-time thing. Now, by the way, I don't know what this Monday Night Football cast is going to be. It looks like it's going to be a little bit more interesting because they changed broadcasters. But I've always said this. Do you watch because of the broadcast? To me, the broadcasters enhance the broadcast, but I'm watching because of the game.
Well, it goes back because I don't think millennials understand how big Monday Night Football used to be.
True.
You know, when you had Frank and obviously, you know, Howard Cosell. Dandy Don in his prime.
Yeah.
It was an event. And then, you know, you had big names. Al Michaels in Sunday Night is the only thing that feels big. You know, Nestler's got a big voice. You know, you might not agree with Gary Danielson, but I think the SEC and CBS is always feels big.
I agree.
Sometimes the games always don't live up to it. But in the case of, you know, what we're going to see Thursday night, I love Al Michaels. Chris Collinsworth, I know some people want to see him drive off a bus, off a cliff, but he does bring some good analysis.
If he mentions our Super Bowl again, I might want that. Hey, coming up, how much money did Khalil Mack get? We'll tell you it's a record-setting deal.
Who would trade the best defensive player in the league?
Complete preseason coverage.
This year's different, and this team is different.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Coming up at 6, top 3 at 6, as we'll lay out the top 3 stories of the day, really of the weekend, coming off of an incredible college football weekend. Before we start talking about some of the things that went down in the NFL, including the big trade with Khalil Mack, you know, we were just talking about the fact that, if you didn't see it, real quick, out of all the things that have transpired over the weekend, Michigan underperformed again. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, for everything that's been said about him, and you can't take anything away from what he did in the NFL, so that's great. But now that he's at his alma mater, Mike, he's not living up to what all these expectations were. He was supposed to be the guy to come in, turn things around, contend for Big Ten championships, be in the college football playoff. And we've said this. He's not consistently beat his rivals, specifically Ohio State. They lose to Notre Dame, and then one former Wolverine goes on the Big Ten, or actually works for the Big Ten Network, tweeted out this weekend, Braylon Edwards kind of went after him, didn't he?
Yeah. Braylon Edwards, a Michigan Wolverine. He played there. He's criticized Harbaugh since he's been there in Ann Arbor. So he goes on Twitter and says, talking about the center, Cesar Ruiz. Ruiz is weak. Line is weak. Shea is scared. Effing Michigan offense is so predictable. Michigan football is sadly one thing, trash. Now, some would say you don't take that kind of a shot at a student athlete.
Okay.
You know, a guy's getting paid to do it. You want to call that guy a buster, you knock yourself out. Some would say it's bad form, especially it's bad form when it's your alma mater to go after a student athlete. So I would think that he's echoing the sentiments of many Michigan fans. But anyway, he gets suspended from the Big Ten Network for doing that.
Did you see Harbaugh's response today? Number one, first of all, it's not true. It's not factual.
It's fake news.
There's nobody in our program who thinks those things about any player on our team, let alone the two guys he describes. On the other level, it's disappointing that a member of the Big Ten Network would choose to attack the character of our players. It's disappointing, Harbaugh says. Then he goes on to say, if you want to attack someone, attack me.
Come at me. I'm a man. I'm 40. How old is Harbaugh now? I dress like I'm 70. Yeah.
It's not true.
Yes.
So, yeah, listen. Whether you think what Braylon Edwards did was right or wrong, and to Mike's point, that would be the argument, especially for the Big Ten Network, a guy that works at the Big Ten Network, to criticize the character of a college, you know, student athlete. Tis. But I get it. But the other side of it is Michigan looks like a lumbering blah offense, Mike. There's no imagination whatsoever.
And that's one of the things that Braylon Edwards was talking about. You saw it. Now, real quick. Georgia beat a good Notre Dame team last year in South Bend.
And they're good this year.
And Notre Dame has returned a lot of guys from that team. So there's a bunch of starters on both sides of the football. So that's a good squad. And they've got a decent quarterback. You can sling it. And you saw how they came out throwing it. But Jim Harbaugh now goes, you know, they were on the cusp of top 10. Notre Dame wasn't top 10. So he's still 1-8 versus top 10 opponents at Michigan. I mean, that's not going to do it. You know, that's going to do it for anybody's resume. So, and it's not that we take pleasure in Harbaugh stinking.
A little bit.
It's just, remember, guys, go back 2 or 3 years. All this hype about Harbaugh and the recruiting, Harbaugh's in Georgia, Harbaugh's in Florida, Harbaugh this, what does it mean? If you can't win, especially now, I don't know what Ohio State's going to do. They certainly kicked the tail out of the Beavers, and certainly nothing was missed not having Tressel, by the way, who gets to skulk into the facility at 6:15 this morning. won't be able to coach them, of course, until after they play TCU. But Ohio State, if you're not going to get them this year, it doesn't look like you got the horses to do it in Michigan based on what I saw last night.
No, I don't think so either. Hey, more coming up about the Dogs as they get a win over the weekend against Austin Peay and Georgia Tech as well. Both teams looking impressive, I thought. You know, I hear Paul Johnson. You'll hear him as well coming up at the top 3 at 6 saying that he was not necessarily impressed with everything. He thinks they can do a lot better, and I think Kirby feels the same way, even though they dominated Austin Peay. With that said, what'd you make of the Khalil Mack trade over the weekend?
Yeah, man, Khalil Mack goes to the Bears. They get 2 first-rounders and a third. They sent a second and Khalil Mack. It's interesting because the Bears, and real quick, explain it because you did a nice job better than I could about why you're kind of taking a page out of Seattle's business model if the Bears think you can actually get things done right now.
Well, I think in today's NFL, teams have seen what Seattle was able to do with LOB in its prime, all right? Legion of Boom. Half those guys are gone. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. But the premise was very simple. You had Russell Wilson, who was in his rookie deal, which allowed them to pay everyone else around them, or him, should I say. And the Bears are in a similar situation. If the Bears believe, and obviously they do by making this deal, that Mitchell is the guy, he's in his rookie deal.
Right.
And you start looking at that defense and the guys that they've acquired, now you add Khalil Mack to Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Leonard Floyd. All of a sudden, that front seven is pretty dominant, Mike, talking about being able to get after the quarterback. And the guy in your division that's pretty much on you, Aaron Rodgers, how do you get after him? How do you beat Aaron Rodgers? So if you're getting pressure, you're rushing throws, that is what the Bears are simply looking at, and they're going, all right, we're willing to give up two first and a third, two first in 2019, 2020, and a third in 2020 to make this happen right now because we're not in a position where we're paying our quarterback $25 or $30 million.
Now, well, let's hear from John Gruden because there's a lot of stuff that was written, and he goes, no, there's making it sound like me and Reggie McKenzie aren't on the same page. Well, now, McKenzie was going round and round with Khalil Mack's agent long before John Gruden got there because much like Aaron Donald, he wanted a deal last year, did Khalil Mack. He's one of the best in the league, what, 40 and a half sacks in 4 years. But John Gruden, listen to this and try tell me if this makes sense to you.
First of all, I'd like to wish Khalil well. He was a great player for us, a great person, a great teammate. The negotiation was what it was. It was tough. It was a long process. We talked about it daily. We made an offer. I don't believe we were anywhere close to where the Bears were. The Bears made us an offer that we thought was really unique. Very, very tough to say goodbye to a great player, but here we are today.
All right, now we want to take you here on Dukes and Bell behind the scenes of these negotiations because behind closed doors, this is kind of what we heard went down. Reggie, the general manager, basically the final deal was on the table and the agent handed it to him and Reggie looked at it. He looked at John Gruden and he went, John, I don't think we can do this.
No way we're going to do this. I'm not going to do this kind of nonsense. I'm not going to have a gun in my head here with the Raiders. I want gunslingers. I don't want a gun in my head. No way, pal. Not on my watch. Adios, amigo. Ship them off to the Bears.
And that's kind of how it went down. Now, for those of you who don't think that John Gruden had a say in this, they're paying him $100 million.
I'm okay? The big enchilada. I'm Chucky.
So there's no way Gruden did not have a say in this.
That's right. By the way, I kind of fancy myself as a personnel man, although I'm not because Rich McKay built the team I won a Super Bowl with. Buccaneers fans saw that up close and personal. I couldn't do jack when I was given all the cards.
So Gruden says they made a unique offer. Yeah, they did. But he also talks about the economics of signing Mac. Listen to this.
Aaron Donald got signed. They don't have a quarterback that has been redone yet. I think the Bears made this trade. Trubisky's still on his rookie deal. It's tough when you have two players that are the highest paid, arguably, or close to the highest paid at their positions. So the economic part of it certainly weighs in. We've got free agents on our team that are going to be to be next year. We've got to find a way to bring them back. So you got to field a 53-man roster, and there are some implications of having two players making that much money. That's no mystery to anybody.
That's a lot of money right there, pal. Raider fans understand. Mark Davis spends all that money on funny haircuts.
That he does.
No, here's the deal. I mean, you've got the guys, and you develop, right? You drafted this guy. He comes up in your system.
Yep.
And you're going to cut bait on him? It's why the Falcons would never move off of Julio. Even a guy like Jake Matthews, who's not Pro Bowl caliber, but you don't have a guy who's a top 10 draft pick, and you don't just let that guy walk away or trade him. Now, I know there's a tremendous promise with all these picks they're going to get, but, I mean, the Raiders had enough talent to beat the Patriots, I thought, in the AFC Championship that year. Unfortunately, they lose their quarterback.
They're
only a few years removed from being really competitive.
Well, Mike, and I don't give up on Khalil Mack. One, he's in his prime, okay? Two, he's a baller. We're talking about a guy who's been an all-pro at both outside linebacker and defensive end in 2015. He was the first guy in league history to ever do that. Then you're talking about in 2017. Think about this. They said Khalil Mack had a down year. He still had 10 and a half sacks.
I love the guy. By the way, Raider fans, be honest with you. Truthfully, I never met the man face-to-face, but I thought he was a good Raider, and he worked real hard.
185 quarterback pressures since 2014, Mike. He leads the league in that department. He also has 40 and a half sacks since coming into the league. You just gave up a playmaker
right.
who's in his prime. I'm sorry. That, to Mike's point, and he was in your system. He was a guy that you drafted.
Right.
I can't do that move.
And meanwhile, Gruden downplaying there's any kind of rift between him and Reggie. Either way, we shall see. Now, if the Bears get back to be the monsters of the Midway, you've got an unbelievable defense. You laid out some of those names. Roquan.
Yep.
I mean, you got Khalil Mack, Roquan. Floyd, by the way, busted his hand. He's going to have like a mallet. He's going to be having it all taped up for the Bears this week. But the
And by the way, you and I were saying,
would you see a trade this late? We didn't think it would go down. Meanwhile, Le'Veon Bell has still not walked into Steelers.
Yeah, camp. And they're not too happy with Le'Veon. But I was going to say, by the way, the Sunday night game is Bears Packers.
Right.
This Sunday night, ironically.
Dead even in all their history, by the way. You see that stat the other day?
I did. I did.
All the games they played, they're dead even against each other.
Yeah, Le'Veon hasn't reported to the Steelers today. It's Monday. Hello. There are real games Sunday. Okay. So the GM says he's disappointed. But we'll see where this goes. I mean, again, Kevin Colbert is the general manager for the Steelers. And so with Le'Veon Bell, Mike, this is kind of how it went down last year. I don't think it's any secret. This is Le'Veon Bell's last year as a Steeler. Done.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully you handcuffed all the running backs for the Steelers if you picked Le'Veon Bell. I mean, if anybody did their fantasy draft already, and most of us have, you grab Le'Veon Bell with that second overall pick after Todd Gurley or some guys go first, you know, good luck with that. No one knows where it's going to roll. Meanwhile, if your auto draft selected Jerick McKinnon for you, formerly of Statesboro, Georgia Southern boy, he is out now. He's on the IR. So Matt Breida, also of Georgia Southern, will get some looks. And they also picked up Alfred Morris to maybe help get the ball down the field. The running backs are a big part, obviously, what Shanahan wants to do.
Yeah.
So that might be a cheap pick for you guys if you had done your draft already.
Well, and I also think, you know, they gave Morris a nice – not Morris – McKinnon, they gave him a really good contract.
Mm-hmm.
I think
$30 million deal, yeah.
Yeah, I think Shanahan saw the versatility in him and how he wanted to use him. So it's unfortunate. But, yeah, Alfred, remember, he was with him in was it D.C.? They were
yeah, Alfred Morris was with him with the Redskins.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, when we come back, guys, we're going to get to the top three, including Georgia beating up on Austin Peay and what we learned from that game. Here on Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.